Hello and welcome to episode number 19 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones and we are both at McFlugel.com. Today is December 26th, 2016. And the show notes page for tonight's episode is McFlugel.com/19. So one quick note before we get started. Just wanted to make a small announcement, as I've been doing the last month or so, but Bill Kristol was on Twitter kind of recently talking about how great the wars are in Iraq and everything and how successful they've been. So I figured let's show him his handiwork. Let's send him on an Iraqi vacation. But of course, he'll never take us up on that. So any money that we raise on a GoFundMe page that I set up will be donated to antiwar.com for the fantastic work they do. So please check out McFlugel.com/vacation for more details on how to donate to that. Or you can also check out the show notes page. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Slappy to introduce the topic for tonight.
Hey, Rollo. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight or today, whenever you're listening. Today, our topic is going to be about soldiers in the military. Police officers or former police officers or veterans. And as many of them, believe it or not, come home from the war and become libertarians. And I guess this is a topic responding to some criticism we get, as well as a Twitter tweet we saw recently that was attacking a libertarian veteran. But can veterans be libertarian? People will often say to me, because I'm very anti-war, so what, do you hate the military or you hate our soldiers? Or, you know, and so we want to talk about that and just kind of give our thoughts on those who work for the muscle of the state, basically, or formerly did. Or so, Rollo, any thoughts on veterans coming home who say they're now libertarian? Can they call themselves libertarian if they were in a war?
Absolutely, I think so. I think we've all, I don't think many of us were, I think we're kind of basically all born libertarian. But the way that the world is, that gets beaten out of us and we become statists just because that's the status quo. So I certainly used to be a hardcore neocon Republican, and I actually ran for Republican office in local elections a few times, and I was not a libertarian at that point. So I think if I can do that and now be an anarcho-capitalist, a voluntarist, then I think it's perfectly acceptable for a soldier to come back and realize, you know, what they did was wrong and want to change. I think that's actually a great thing, instead of, because a lot of people, they tend to say, you know, what I do is right and everything I've done is right, so don't question what I do. So to admit that something that you've done is wrong, I think is a great thing, especially when it's something most soldiers these days are really worshipped by the general populace, and general culture sees soldiers as the, you know, this honorable, incredible thing, and they're out there fighting for our freedom and everything. And, you know, when you come back, you're going to get all this applause and pomp and circumstance. So for a soldier to come back and reject that, I think is very big of him. So I think we should applaud that. And really, just to speak generally real quick, I don't think we should necessarily scorn any soldier that comes back. I think they're mostly victims of, they're being lied to. They're 16, 17, 18 year old kids in high school, and they're getting told all this garbage about how great their lives are going to be and how it's going to pay for college, and there's all these opportunities and blah, 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 blah. You look back on your own life, even if you didn't join the military at that age, and think about all the crazy stuff you thought. And do we really want to judge people on their decisions when they made as a 17 or 18 year old? So I think,
yeah, I know,
soldiers in general.
Right. Go ahead. And, you know, I was never in the military. To be judged on the things I did when I was 16 through 22 ish. you know, made some bad choices, did some stupid things, and I don't see myself as the same person. But, you know, I want to echo what Rallo said, in that these guys are lied to. I remember being in high school, the Marines would come in, they're wearing their fancy uniforms, they look cool, everyone cheers for them when they get off the plane, and, you know, they're heroes. The NFL games have the giant flags, and they bring the guy out during a timeout, and the whole place gives him a standing ovation. And you're looking at that guy. So you see the super athletes on the field, and you're like, yeah, but those guys just have amazing talent. And, you know, I'm only 5'6", or whatever, 100 pounds. I could never do that in a million years. But I could be that guy. That guy's just a normal guy, you know. But he became something bigger. And that kind of mentality just seeps through the whole of society. And you got 16, 17, 18-year-old kids signing up, or at least when they're 16. I don't know if you can be accepted when you're that young. But at least thinking about it, it's all they see are these guys, and they decide to join. And we hear it all the time from veterans, Iraq veterans specifically, because most of my age range. But they say, this wasn't what I signed up to do. And they signed up with the intention to defend the United States, which defending yourself and your neighbors is certainly a good thing, I would say. You know, but they were lied about the mission. They went over there. Can they be held morally responsible? Well, you know, the right thing is to, I would say, to ignore your orders when you're going to do something wrong. But that's easy for me to say when I'm sitting here and not over there and having gone through the training and, you know, it, actually in the firefight. You know, it's very easy for me to say that. So I try not to hold them responsible, even though we are all responsible for our actions, and I understand that. But they could certainly come home and become a libertarian and be anti-war, and I don't see how that's hypocritical or should be any controversy at all, just because someone served in the military. And more credibility to be anti-war, not less.
Right, and there's plenty of people that we've seen have gone through that change. Adam Kokesh might be one of the more famous ones. But if you look at political donations, I mean, when Ron Paul ran for president, he was overwhelmingly receiving most of the support from the military. So I think that says something right there. And we have friends that have served in the military and come back and have changed their minds. And when you actually see it happening, it's tough. It's because they're, you know, you're over there, it's drilled into your head your entire life, and you live this experience, and now all of a sudden people are telling you that you're wrong or something. It takes a big man to actually think that through and acknowledge it and make a change in his life.
Right.
So, where was I going to take this? So the other thing too is, go ahead.
I was going to say, so I think, if someone, because libertarians have these petty fights all the time, but if you're taking a cheap shot at someone because they had served in the military, I think that's very low, because it has nothing to do with anything. What I did when I was 18 is not who I am today. I was all about the war in Iraq when I was 18. I was a senior in high school when 9/11 happened. I wanted to sign up for the Marines, and my father talked me out of it, told me to go to college and become an officer. He said, he didn't talk me out of it because he was anti-war. He talked me out of it because he said, go be an officer, go to college, go to ROTC, and, you know, instead of being a, whatever, an enlisted guy, go be an officer. And things happened where that never panned out, but I would have been right there with them. That wouldn't change anything I say today. Maybe it would, but the fact that I say something today because I did something 10 years ago doesn't mean it's now no longer good because I did something 10 years ago. And I think it's a cheap shot to take to say that about a veteran, that you fought in a war, therefore you can't be libertarian.
Right, because we can pick anything that anyone ever did that was anti-libertarian at some point. I mean, I bet you, I can guarantee you 10 years from now, I'm going to look back on myself on a lot of things I do today and say, wow, what an idiot. I can't believe I did all that stuff.
So yeah, I mean, you're either getting better. You got to continually get better and get smarter and learn more. And so I don't think I have it all figured out right now. I'm sure in 10, 20 years, if I'm still alive, God willing, be able to look back and be like, wow, I thought I knew so much, but now look at how much I know.
Right. And another point I want to make too is that even, you know, even if the soldier or veteran's not being a libertarian, you're not, just, I would say it's important to be careful with what you say too. Even if the soldier's being, you know, for lack of a better term, a little bit combative with this stuff, you don't know what the guy's seen overseas. Not that you don't want to, if he's engaging you, you don't want to, you know, engage him back. But if there's like some PTSD involved, you don't really want to be trying to trigger that. And you should maybe be careful about that. And you don't know what soldier has, you know, what PTSD or what he's seen. So I think there was a great video of Adam Kokesh during one of his speaking tours where he was given the talk at a bar, and a former soldier confronted him afterward and like wanted to just, you know, beat the heck out of him. And he talked him down out of it. And he did it, you know, speaking very compassionately and without being aggressive or being condescending or anything. And it that's difficult on our part too, because it is very, you know, war, talking about war and talking about the destruction that it causes and the innocent lives that it kills and all the lives it ruins is very emotional. And I do get upset sometimes talking about it, because especially when people kind of, you know, brush it off as not being that important, because, you know, it doesn't happen in our own backyards. So it's very convenient for us to not understand it. So I think we just have to be aware. I'm not even saying that not to be easy on them, but just be aware of how you present yourself talking about it, because you might trigger something in them that is really a terrible thing to put them through. And that's not what we want. We don't want, our goal being libertarians, being anarchists, being voluntarists is to minimize human suffering. So we should do that in our own lives and talking to other people, even if we do have the moral high ground, or if we are right.
And you never know. We're all individuals. We're all people. We're all beings. You don't know what's going on in their head, like you mentioned earlier with the PTSD, but self. And I think of myself at 18, listed and did the 4 or 5 years, whatever you have to do, came and got to the point I am now, I think that would drive me crazy. I think I would have a tough time coping with what I did. So I feel for those guys.
Right.
It can't be easy for them. I can never know what it's like, because hopefully I never will. Hopefully it doesn't come here involved. But, you know, I don't have any plans on being in a war, so I'll probably never know what that feeling is like. And I try to be cognizant of that whenever I talk to a veteran in war, because it can be a very touchy subject. But it certainly doesn't eliminate them from being libertarian.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the kind of libertarians that you want.
We want, because indeed, it should have. In fact, for everyone be libertarian, but
for a couple of reasons, they're the ones that have to climb the biggest mountain to shed all of what they've done before, what they believed in before, and join our side. And two, I think that provides a lot of credibility to the movement when you see someone who, you know, was the guy that most people worship, and, you know, he's the one saying, hey, you know what,
it's easy. Well, right. I don't want to say it's easy. I don't know, but it's easy when people are giving you praise to take it.
Right. So yeah, when that guy turns around and says, "You know what? That stuff wasn't good stuff that I did." Yeah, I think that hits a lot harder than it would be you or I saying it, because people can just dismiss us and say, "Oh, well, you were never over there. You don't know what it's like." Yeah, I'm very thankful that I don't know what it's like, and I hope to never know what it's like. I never want to have to be in a position where I have to, you know, harm another human being like that. Whether they're innocent people or the most evil guy in the world, if you put Osama bin Laden in front of me, I wouldn't want to, you know, I don't want to kill anybody. So, I don't know. Have you anything else to add to this, Slappy? It's kind of a...
No, I think, yeah, it's kind of a pretty... You may think it's a very straightforward... If you're already libertarian, you may get it, but we get the question a lot. Well, so what do you hate the military? Like, no, a ton of people in my family are in the military or have been in the military, and I don't hate them. It's something they did. It's something I just easily could have done. I don't like the foreign policy. I don't like the way the military is funded. But the individual people who make up the military, they're individuals. Not a group. They're individuals, and they should be judged as individuals. And they all have their own minds, and they can all think. And if they come around, if they read Rothbard and get on board, welcome on board.
Absolutely. And I think we kind of alluded to this before, but it is very honorable to want to be willing to sacrifice your own life and your own well-being to protect other people
right,
that you don't
exactly.
know. So I think that the real crime is the government and the people that are taking advantage of those of people willing to do right. that and using them as pawns to do their own bidding.
Exactly. That's, because you do have these good – I think actually, you know what? That's a positive attribute about Americans, is that when they're told the military is there for your defense, people want to do it and they – praise that behavior. Of course, they don't think through what's actually happening.
Right.
But why say we had a stateless society, why do you think we would all suddenly change? We would all still want to defend each other and think it's honorable to defend each other. So I think that the fact that so many people love the military, and I know there's a lot of propaganda that goes around it, but I think that's more evidence that if the state went away, we would still have people ready to defend our neighbors, ourselves and our neighbors.
Absolutely.
So with that, I have nothing more to add. How about you, Rob?
No, that's it. Do you have any, we've been doing the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks. So this was a busy week with Christmas. And
right.
Going around back and forth. I don't have, other than the fact that on Christmas Eve, I had no problem getting stuff. They weren't all sold out of everything, and that was nice. Go ahead.
I guess I thought about it a little bit. So in case you're just joining us for the first time or maybe jumping around episodes, the last 2 weeks, we've ended the episode with a little bit of a conversation about, you know, the beauties of the market and how the market works well and is maybe things we take for granted. So one thing, work has been very tough the last 2 weeks. I've been on doing long shifts, and this weekend was the first time I had off in 2 weeks. So it was difficult for me to get Christmas shopping done. But one of the ways I was able to do it was Amazon.com. And normally I subscribe to Prime to get the free 2-day shipping, which is fantastic. I mean, a couple of years ago, that wasn't a thing.
Yeah. Pay like $30 to get 2-day shipping.
Years. Not that it's free. I mean, I pay a subscription fee,
what you order, yeah.
Right, it pales comparison to what I would pay for shipping if I didn't have it. Plus, you know, I was able to cancel my Netflix because I basically got the same thing with the Amazon Prime Video. But it was getting close to Christmas, and I wasn't sure, you know, maybe the 2-day shipping wasn't going to work out. So I paid a little bit extra and got 1-day shipping. and it should open my door Friday at some point. So
excellent.
The market, you know, people might complain that, oh, shipping's expensive or this product's expensive, but it's, or if you, you know, went out shopping Christmas Eve to the store, you know, things were still there at, you know, I'm sure reasonable prices given the fact that it was Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, you know, there's so much bounty that we have due to capitalism and the free exchange that it's easy to, you maybe get frustrated sometimes because we have to pay a little bit extra, but really that paying that little bit extra is what makes the world go around. And so it's nice to be able to have that option to have to pay extra for something as a matter of, well, convenience. I mean, how often do we complain about things because it's a little bit inconvenient? Whereas 100 years ago, or maybe someone in a third world country would look at us and say, like, oh, wow, poor you. Oh, look, like last week I was talking about my car. Oh, poor you. You have a car and it's causing you a little bit of problems. That's such a terrible thing for you. So
yeah.
I think it's good to take a step back and see all the great things that we have, because we sure do have a lot. So with that, remember the show notes page for this episode is mcflugel.com/19. Be sure to check out our website, mcflugel.com, and subscribe to our newsletter there, or our email subscription. Haven't really put out a newsletter yet, but that's something we want to do. But it will send you emails whenever we update the website and put up a new post, which actually in the last month or so we've been doing very consistently with I mean, what do you think? 4 to 5 posts a week?
We're trying. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. At least that. And we'll keep that going. Make sure you like us. Make sure if you like us, click like, share us. That helps us. That's what we ask for you. If you like what we're doing, please share it with your friends. Share with your non-libertarian friends. That's who our real target audience is.
Right. So we are on Facebook.com/McFlugel. We are also on Twitter. And please subscribe to this podcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. All of these links are on the show notes page, as I mentioned, McFlugel.com/19. So with that, have a great week, and we will see you next time.
Peace.